Eight donations.
Pasadena Playhouse presents The Visit, a haunting, twisted, and truly grotesque comedy starring Tony Award winner Jefferson Mace and Mad Men's Melinda Page Hamilton. When the richest woman in the world returns to her struggling hometown, she's ready and willing to rescue it from ruin, on one condition. Experience The Visit at Pasadena Playhouse beginning September 9th. Further information and tickets are available at pasadenaplayhouse.org and kpfk.org.
Hey, my name is Ron Roger. I'm an actor from such shows as Matlock, Stranger Things, Power Rangers, and maybe a few more. You are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real,
for real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Radio.
For the people.
Here we go.
Come on. Mojo.
Yeah, KPFK 90.7 FM, the Pocho Hour Power. I'm Jeff Keller.
And I am Esteban Zul, and we are in the Casa Live to you on this Friday day. This is a Memorial Day weekend. There's a lot of things going on. We've got...
And I am Lalo Alcaraz, Esteban.
Lalo, I thought you were coming into the studio today.
He got things to do, man.
Man, I gotta go wash Jeff's new car.
That's right. My ex one. I don't even tell people what I got.
My bad. I thought you were coming in.
My 65 Impala. That's what I'm gonna just got.
65 Impala. That was the first car I ever bought.
I'm rocking Kragers with the little mini white steering wheel.
I gotta go pick it up from Ice Cube's house.
I bought a 65 Impala for $100, and I pushed it all the way home.
Oh my god. Oh my god! Mine was a '65 Mustang, actually, 289. Come on now.
Mine was a '70 Volkswagen.
Actually, mine was a Swin. Let me be real.
Swin bike.
The Debo special.
Come on now.
Oh my god! Well, welcome everybody. Happy Memorial Day weekend, or what is it? Labor Day? I don't even know. I don't take vacations, so what? I'm not familiar with holiday names, so I'm so sorry. But welcome, everybody, to the Pocho Hour Power. We got a great show today. We have Rick Salinas and Evelina Fernandez from the show Antigone Play coming up. And, of course, we got Patricia Guadalupe, Russell Contreras, we also have a Santana ticket giveaway a little later. So you have to listen. There will be a pop quiz. You have to listen the whole time. All right?
Okay, this is like good? Santana, actually, not Stantana.
I know. It sounded like you said Stantana.
The tribute band.
Did I?
That's what I thought he said.
The fan-based tribute band, Stantana. But this is actually Santana.
I believe so. I better double check the tickets. No, it is
Santana or Santana.
Carlos Santana, our listeners,
Santini,
Evelina.
Carlos Santini,
the great Santini.
So stay tuned to the Pocho Hour Power, and you can be a winner. And see Carlos Santana out in Las Vegas. And that laughter is coming straight from a friend of the show and a longtime friend, an LA icon of stage and film, It is Evelina Fernandez.
Evelina. Yes, yes. Welcome in the house.
Hi, Lalo. Hi, Azul. Thanks for having me again.
Welcome to the Pocho Hour Power, Evelina.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know who's not happy to be here is Rick Salinas.
Rick is sitting here quiet, smiling.
I'm just waiting for my intro.
The great Rick Salinas.
There you go. The great Rick Salinas.
Great Rick Salinas, no. Who is acting in the play. This is basically, Evelina, this is like an adaptation, right? Of the
adaptation of Antigone.
And so, like, exactly. I mean, but you chose to set this in a different setting, right?
Right. It takes place in pre-conquest Tenochtitlan, which is now Mexico City. So this takes place before the Españoles came and stole everything from us. So, yeah.
And it's so unique because Sophocles wrote this, Evelina, 2,700 years ago?
Yes.
And the conquest was how long ago? Like 500 years ago,
constantly,
right?
Yeah, Jackson.
500 years ago.
So, Evelina, what was... I mean, I know this is a very old play, a Greek tragedy, but also, like, what was your inspiration for choosing this for adaptation? And I hear that you actually have, part of the play is done in Nahuatl, the ancient language of the Aztecs.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Some scenes are done in Nahuatl, and all of the songs are in Nahuatl. Well, I've been interested in the pre-conquest literature since I used some of it for La Virgen. La Virgen that we do every year at the cathedral. And we've done other adaptations at the Getty Villa Lab. So, and most of them were comedies, but so we decided to do a tragedy. And it's appropriate for this time. It deals with tyranny. It deals with a ruler who is out of control with power. And a young woman who dares to speak up against the tyranny and eventually brings him down. So I just feel that it is appropriate for Latinos to be on that stage telling this story because of what our community is going through at this time. And
history repeats itself, you know, when you think about it. It just repeats itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, how many times has, you know, tyranny reared its ugly head, you know, in the world and, you know, in our country?
And it's a spectacle, you guys. I mean, it is, you know, I was able to get off the ranch, the Culture Clash Ranch, and got invited to be in this. And, you know, at first it was all Greek to me, but ba-dum-bum. But it was... just there's like 23 actors on stage, musicians, and it is a spectacle. It is blowing up on that stage. I mean, I really recommend this play for anybody because you're sitting on an area that looks like it was ancient Greece. The way that the seating is, the pillars that are behind us, it's in the museum
style.
Amphitheater.
That's where you're presenting it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so anytime you see, you know, we're putting danza azteca on that stage, we're doing ceremonia on that stage, we have la muerte on that stage, and you know, I think that's pretty revolutionary. Put a young Chicana portraying Antígona.
Yeah, she's got like one of the original rebeldes, right? She rebelled back in the day. And in those days, they didn't even honor women the way that they should have been honored. So we don't even know what she looked like.
Yeah, for sure.
How much preparation and rehearsal time did you guys have to put in to coordinate all that? 23, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, not enough, but but we started in January. We started with a workshop of, you know, maybe 15 to 20 people just to figure out the imagery and the movement and stuff like that. And then we actually started rehearsal. When did we start, Rick? In July?
Yeah, in July.
We started rehearsing in July. There's a lot of coordinated dialogue, a lot of coordinated movement, the use of masks. So there's a lot going on that stage.
Yeah, I had to learn a little Nahuatl, you know? And it is Nahuatl. True. Nahuatl. Yeah, now what do we do? No, yeah. there's so many Latinos on that stage. I mean, the last time they saw that many Latinos is when the custodial staff, you know, takes care of the Getty.
The custodial staff is going to come and see the play.
I heard. They keep asking us.
Yeah, it's so cool. One of them, actually, he said he peeked into the rehearsal the other day, and he said he became very emotional to see us on that stage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really want it's great for the Getty Villa audience to, you know, see this piece. And we also want our raza to go out there and check it out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and there's super titles where the Nahuatl is translated. Also, the English translated to Spanish. The Spanish translated to English. It is just amazing how what you could do now with super titles.
So I don't have to bring my Nahuatl translator with me to the play?
No, you don't have to bring it. Okay. Or not even your caló
okay.
dictionary.
Yeah, his translator is Jeff.
Boy, is he in trouble.
Rough, but, yeah. He does what he can.
And it's beautiful out there. You could see the Pacific Ocean. It's right there in Malibu. It's beautiful. And we got to thank Ralph Flores and Anna Wu, who are the ones that do these.
The curators. Yeah, they're the curators of the programming there. And everybody at the Villa has been very, very nice. It's, you know, it's been also a pleasure to work with Rick Salinas from Culture Clash. You know, he's never been in one of the Latino theater companies
until
play.
Now. I didn't know theater was that easy.
You are
compared with the other two guys. And there's 20 of us. No, it's you know what's really good,
it's
Evelina.
Called group theater, not group therapy.
Yeah, that's what it,
you know, we're gonna get a text in a second.
Oh, I know, you know from who. No, but it's just the beauty of working with the Latino Lab, Evelina, the director Jose Luis Valenzuela. Man, they make it like worth coming every time we rehearse, every time we get there. It's community. It is community of theater actors, of people that are leaving everything behind to just try to do this play and try to send a message out there. And, of course, it's going to be entertaining, but it is a real Greek tragedy with pathos. And, you know, I do a little comedy in it, but overall it's some – serious right. drama, and it's beautiful, just beautiful.
But Evelina, you've done a lot of plays, you've written a lot of things, and and do you consider this like one of your most kind of ambitious endeavors? Because of all of the it seems like there's so much in here, from translating the old play to the Nahuatl to the adaptation process. How do you look
definitely,
at that as you
definitely,
figure?
Definitely, definitely a huge endeavor. I mean, the only other play that I've done that is of this caliber in terms of people, the language, and all of that is La Virgen. But yeah, this is definitely challenging. And also, I'm just really honored to be able to use this text that was written by our ancestors generations ago that people are not familiar with, the beautiful poetry, the philosophy of life, how to live on this earth. All of the palabras are so beautiful. And I'm just really honored to be able to share it with our audience and with the audience at the Getty Villa, who I'm sure are not familiar with it.
And the Getty Villa audiences, some of them, they know these plays backwards and forwards.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so for Evelina to take this challenge, she did a beautiful job.
Man, I ain't no scholar. I'm just
but it's
a
earthy.
From East LA, you know?
It's very Latino, Chicano, Mexicano. Aztec, you know, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful. So, I really recommend it for everyone to go out there. It's not too far.
We all know it's at the Getty Villa. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What are the dates? What's opening night? And how long are you guys running?
So we open on October 10th, and we run through October 3rd. It plays Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m. And you can get tickets at getty.edu.
Yes.
Right, so you meant October 3rd to the 10th, right?
No.
September.
September
10th to October 3rd.
Okay, there you go.
Hey, don't confuse me.
Yeah. Your date dyslexic.
Well, no. I heard date dyslexic. I thought I heard October 3rd.
No. That's the closing. And you know, when you go to the Getty Villa to see the play, you can actually go early and go see the museum itself.
There's wonderful antiquities in there, Greek and Roman antiquities that you don't really get a chance to see. And also, there's an option of ordering dinner. Mm-hmm. So you can have dinner. You can go to the museum. You can have dinner there.
There's a cafe.
And you can check out the show.
Will it be a Greek dinner or a Mexican dinner? That's what I want.
It's actually – no, that's a good question. They're having a special menu for those that want to eat indigenous food. It's going to be some tamales that are very indigenous, right? I've never seen them before.
I thought you were going to say crickets and ants. Because
we do that too.
I used to have those when I went to – when I went to my – Indigenous
retreat.
Indigenous retreat. Wow. We were fed crickets and ants.
I don't think they'll have that, but it's a menu.
They also have a special drink called El Cosmico. Check it out.
Oh, nice.
That sounds indigenous. If you start seeing the cosmos, then
no peyote.
And Rick Salinas, thank you for
guys for having us on.
Thank you, Lalo. Thank you, Azul.
Come on out and see the show.
We love you guys.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Antigone.
Orale, pues. Okay, Lalo.
Let Rick go, man.
As they say over, I was at ELAC this weekend with postcards, and then a homie picked it up. He goes, Antigone. Orale.
Antigone.
It's like the cure to ICE deportations.
Antigone. I'm not going. All right, guys. I'm sorry, but I got to split because I got to get my butt to the Getty. All right, Evelina, thank you so much for joining
Getty
us.
Getty over there.
Thank you, guys.
We got rehearsal. Bye, okay.
All right, Lalo.
So, guys.
Right on.
Guys. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Hey, I think it's time to strike up the band.
Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe, Pocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Here we go. Yes,
hello,
yes.
Hello.
Here we go.
Patricia.
I'm here. I was stuck in traffic for a little bit coming down to the press club, which is where I am now. Just a few blocks away from the White House, but your interview was so interesting that I was like, yeah, man, you know, I don't feel so bad being next. So,
well, Patricia, to tell the truth, we thought that you were like on a beach in Puerto Rico somewhere.
Those were
the rumors.
That's what it said on your Facebook.
That would be a wonderful rumor, but you know, there's just so much going on here in D.C. that I had to be here instead of at the beach. What can I say? You know, as you can imagine, this is the beginning of the long holiday weekend for Labor Day, but that hasn't stopped our good friend and Lalo's favorite president from being, you know, saying some of the most insane stuff, like going ahead with building or at least plans for building that big, I guess you could call it like the entrance, sort of like an Arc de Triomphe kind of thing.
The thousand-year Reich Arc?
Yeah, pretty much. Right next to the right at the entrance to the Arlington National Cemetery. And then having, you know, all this other craziness happen, such as Fox News getting rid or firing or letting go or however you want to call it for Maria Bartiromo, who was for the longest time one of the main anchors on CNBC, moved over to Fox Business TV and then became like a mega crazy person And she was let go because apparently a rumor has it that she was basically communicating with the Trump White House about what was going on behind the scenes at Fox on whether they should cover his stuff or not.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Big whoops. Everything he touches.
Yeah, yep. Pretty
does
much.
Does not turn to gold.
And the other stuff. And the thing is, you know, when she was on CNBC, she was very objective, very impartial. She was one of the few women who was actually on the floor of the stock exchange in New York covering business. Her nickname on the show, they had a morning show when she was on there. Her name was the Money Honey. And then she moved over. She moved over to Fox and completely lost her mind. And now the rumor is that she may be the new press secretary for the White House to replace the other person who's leaving, who's your Lalo's favorite press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, mm-hmm. who says that she's leaving to spend more time with her family, which nobody believes that. Everybody thinks that she got. Carolyn Leavitt got pissed off when the president left her in an unsecured plane with some members of the press while he took a plane with some other members of the cabinet while they were overseas thinking that, you know, he was going to get hijacked or whatever. And so the Secret Service moved him and several other people into what they considered a more secure plane. And he told Carolyn Leavitt, oh, you go over in this other one. And, you know, and that's the rumor.
When they ask her replacement why she took the job, she can always say, I did it for the money, honey.
Hey, that's funny.
That's perfect.
That's funny because, you know, Snoop Dogg, remember Mr. Green, the pimp that used to be with him all the time? Snoop Dogg. Remember him? He had a group, and the hit song was, Baby, get the money for you, give them the honey.
Well, you know, Snoop Dogg did that real famous song with his mind on his money and his money on his mind.
Yeah.
So we know if she does get that job, what her nickname is going to be. And then you have Congress is still out, and especially because of the holiday weekend, they're not going to come back until maybe the end of next week, but most likely the week after. And they have a whole bunch of things pending, including looking at the budget, including flipping out over the primaries, because if you're following the primaries as they go along, a lot of the Trump supporters or a lot of the Trump candidates that support him are losing big, and that you have all these progressive candidates winning all these primaries and even kicking out some of the Democratic members themselves that are more mainstream. And now you have some of the Democrats are pissed off at House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries because he met with Jared Kushner. And some of the Democrats are wondering, well, you know, why are you meeting with this guy? And he said, oh, I just wanted to talk to him to see what was going on. And, of course, the progressives are up in arms in the Democratic faction. And a lot of them are looking at November and saying, you know, if the Democrats win the House, that he's supposed to be the House Speaker, but there may even be a fight over who that would happen. Who would be the one if the Democrats take back the House? And it looks more and more like it's going to be a good turnout and a good win for the Democrats in November, to the point that some of the major organizations are looking at places where Democrats haven't won in a long time and saying there's a really good possibility. Like the Texas Senate race is one, the Maine Senate race, a few other places, even in the middle of the country. And they're looking at maybe, you know, at a good possibility of Michigan keeping that Senate race or that Senate seat in Democratic hands. There's a tremendous amount of upheaval with a president who is basically out of touch and doesn't give a damn and is not really paying attention to his own party.
So right. What does this say about progressives, though? Because are they really going to gain traction in this new environment, or Are people still being scared?
Well, it all depends on how many of them actually win. You know, if you're one of only, you know, if you're only one or two of just a whole bunch of Democrats, you may not have as much power as you ordinarily would. But if enough of the progressives and some of the Democratic socialists win seats in Congress, the mainstream Democrats such as Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer and all the other folks are going to have to seriously look at some of those top leadership posts, because you know that a lot of them are going to be saying, wait a minute, I was elected to Congress and we still have the same leaders who are not doing much of anything, because that's going to be the next problem that Democratic Party has.
And I know Trump is looking at all this stuff very closely, and he's even coming up with strategies for a loophole to run again for a third term.
Well,
I've heard that one of those strategies is that he's going to run in a burqa and say, surprise.
Well, you know, the big problem, I think the big problem is before we even get to all that, is the Supreme Court and mail-in balloting.
Yeah.
And that's the real thing, because they're trying to get the voter registers. They're trying to take people off. They're trying to make sure that people don't get their ballots. I mean, it's going to be a show that we've never seen before, when people, there's going to be a lot of people not voting, and there's going to be a lot of madness and chaos going on. So I'm not sure Democrats are going to win like they think they're going to win because of that issue.
Well, that's why they're gearing up and mobilizing right now and telling people, reconsider mailing in your ballot if that's what you do. If you're going to mail it in, then do it much earlier, or actually show up in person. And if you can't in person, have somebody else take your ballot and drop it off in person. Because what they're trying to do, the Republicans, is to basically throw off the results of November by preventing a lot of folks, especially in rural areas, from voting, because they're taking away drop boxes, they're taking away mailboxes, they're taking away all of these things. And they're trying to, well, if it, you know, the law says that the ballot has to be counted as long as it's postmarked by Election Day. So what they're trying to do, the Republicans, is that to have the postmark before Election Day, or if you drop it off on Election Day, the U.S. Postal Service, which is in the pocket of the Trump folks, may not postmark it until the day or a week after, and they're going to completely throw them out.
Yep.
And
that's they want you to hand it to an ICE agent wearing electric gloves.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. You know, if you haven't heard about that, the ICE agency signed a multi-million-dollar contract with the company to get electrified gloves. I'm not kidding you, folks.
Yep.
You wouldn't even use them on animals. If you use an electrified glove on an animal, you can go to jail for that. But there's no such thing in any law that says you can't use electrified gloves, because nobody thought that you needed to write a law that said don't use electrified gloves against people.
Right. But I think what Lalo is saying, that there's going to be ICE agents at the voting facilities to try to keep people from showing up.
And there's actually a lot of lawyers, immigration lawyers, constitutional law lawyers, that are mobilizing to make sure that people have access to the voting booth, and to tell people, if your name is not on the ballot, or rather on the voting rolls, do not turn around and go home. You have a right to ask for a provisional ballot. Every state has that right. And so all you have to do is, my name is not on there, I know I'm registered, I know I'm here legally, I know I have a right to vote, give me a provisional ballot. And then what the state voting folks have to do is then they verify it later on. But you have a right to vote that day, even if your name does not show up in the voting rolls, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to purge
strategies.
All of these names. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of these strategies they're trying, because they know that Democrats vote more by mail than Republicans.
Yeah. And you know, and ironically, Trump himself votes by mail.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. Hey, Patricia, is it true that now, and we have about a minute, Congress is going to take another break?
Oh, well, they're basically breaking. They're coming back and then having another break, and then they're breaking again to campaign. So
I hope they don't get too tired from all these breaks.
Well, and imagine Mitch McConnell has not come back. And who out there has a job?
He's
where
on
you can,
permanent
you
break.
Show up. You don't show up for 6 months, but you still get paid. And you tell your constituents, well, the doctor says I can't show up yet.
But wait, when you say campaigning, are they asking for money? Is that what they're doing?
Well, this is a big
Are they begging for money? Is this what?
Well, they're always doing that. But what I'm saying is that they basically recess Congress to go out on the campaign trail. That's what it is.
Okay.
So they have all of these things up in the air that they haven't resolved yet. So what's going to end up happening is they're going to do all of these what are called continuing resolutions to continue to fund the government and continue to fund these agencies in a piecemeal way while they're out doing things like I'm writing a letter to my vacuum cleaner. And that's what Charles Grassley did. He actually joined TikTok. This guy is approaching 90 years old, and he posted on TikTok how he missed his vacuum cleaner that he called Betsy. I am not kidding, folks. This is really what happened. So the clown show here in D.C. is nonstop and constant, and that's why I'm here and not on the beach in Puerto Rico. Oh. No.
maybe he was tired of his cat's ticket a free ride on his new Roomba.
that could be.
Oh, man. Well, Patricia Guadalupe, it just keeps getting more and more ridiculous, but we're happy you're there to capture it for us.
Oh, well, thanks. And you know, I'll be here next week with more ridiculousness from the clown show.
Yeah. All right. Have a happy holiday. And we'll see you next week on the
podcast. Yeah. And remember, folks, Labor Day is because the unions gave you the week. What did they say? God gave you one day off. The unions gave you the weekend. Remember that.
Yeah, that's right. Go unions.
That's good. Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
All right, Patricia Guadalupe, we'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power, including Russell Contreras and Nancy de los Santos.
And Santana giveaway.
Woo! Don't go anywhere.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Dodgers are sitting comfortably with a 9.5 game lead in the division over Arizona, but are 3.5 games back from Milwaukee for the top spot in the National League. A 3-game home series against Washington begins tonight. First pitch from Blake Snell is at 7:10. USC football hosts Fresno State this evening at 6. After last week's game against San Jose State drew scrutiny for a low fan turnout, Lincoln Riley's squad hopes to have a raucous home crowd. UCLA begins their football season on the road against the California Golden Bears tomorrow night at 7:30 on ESPN. A renewal of the Bear Bowl rivalry will be Bob Chesney's first game as head coach in Westwood. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to La Raza Radio.
Oh, yeah, you know what that music means. Oh,
close enough, Lonnie Jordan.
You know what that music right there means. And support for the Pocho Hour Power on KPFK comes in part from the House of Blues Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay, presenting Carlos Santana live on Wednesday, September 23rd, 2026. Tickets will be sent to you by email. You've got to get yourself to Vegas, but the show is on us. So
that's right.
Call 818-985-5735 and your tickets through email. 818-985-5735.
That's right.
Wow. Jeff rehearsed longer than the cast of Antigone to recite that phone number.
Listen, I've been promised free trips to Vegas, and I'm not going to tell you what I had to do to get that phone.
All right. And for further information, visit LasVegasHouseOfBlues.com/Santana.
Simone, get down, is it?
All right. Well, it's a Pocho Hour Power, and we're now joined by our man in New Mexico. So maybe let's strike up that band.
Oh, we got a lot of bands here today.
Chacho Contreras, reporting for Machos. It's Chacho Contreras, directly from Machos.
Who's that girl, Russell? Who's the girl? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know. Butch X's and Butch Infinity. It's good to be with you guys today. As you know, a lot of things going on. We got new lake names, all sorts of things. Football season's in full gear. And because of that, we looked at something Jeff would really like. The whole new NIL is really messed up. This is, we see a lot of LSU in the news about the two former professional players going back to college. Actually, let's take a look at the NIL, what's going on with activists. As you know, the NAACP and other civil rights groups are asking black athletes to boycott schools in states that are rolling back civil rights legislation, rolling back voting rights. And they've had almost no takers. It seems like no big star, either prep or transfer portal seeker, for that matter, has taking up the NAACP and its offer to boycott Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas. In fact, the money is just too good that players have really not engaged in those discussions. This shows how football and college sports in general has changed. It's not just football. It's also softball. You have Latinas moving from places to various softball teams in states where they're rolling back voting rights. It is not the same. We looked at Exodus and looked at why is that. And it turns out Gen Z, as we reported here on the Bunch of Hour Power, just not engaged with civil rights as they in the past. They're more about building wealth. They may be about activism, but the civil rights movement has faded from memory. They're no longer engaged. It's no longer boycotts aren't necessarily a tactic that they endorse, nor do they regularly participate in. They're going in different ways. They're on social media. And so the boycott to put pressure on colleges, to put pressure on states to not roll back voting rights isn't just working. We see a lot of noise, but the money is just too good.
Yeah.
Right now, Jeff was back in college sports. Not only would he have that Dana Point mansion that me and Lalo could engage in and go hang out, not only could he get the penthouse so our man could go see Carlos Santana, he would have a lot of different things and sell his image and make more money. That's why it's so enticing. That's why you have professional athletes saying, why did I leave college? I can actually make more money here.
Yeah.
The NIL is a very different system, and it's something that we looked at Axis.
Yeah, see, Lalo, this is crazy. You know, you got players making $21 million. You got players making $50 million. That's the kind of NIL money's going on. And you know who's really making a lot of that money? That one of the highest paid is gymnastics, a gymnast at LSU. So it's not just football, and it's not just basketball. It's other sports and female sports.
And we wanted that for them, right? For many years, because it was unfair that everyone else was making money. But look how it's affecting all this. By the way, LSU dance team. Woo! Something else, man. As a dance dad, I got to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
And I also say, as a softball dad, there was a sister who got the first million-dollar athlete when she went to Texas Tech, took them to the College World Series final. There were other college professional players, college players that are going and getting a ton of money. That's great, especially with women's sports. It's really good to see that. Now, there's not a lot of options for women to go into professional leagues right now. A lot of, even the WNBA, still many folks believe it's a developing league. not getting as much money as the male athletes. And there are new softball, professional softball leagues and women's baseball leagues, but they're just not getting the money. The money's still in collegiate athletes, collegiate athletics. That's where they, in Congress and various conferences are going to have to work this out, because this problem that we see at LSU, I think it's going to be getting bigger. Right now, they're talking about two deaf players. They're not necessarily those that are going to put you over the edge to get you a natty, but they will get you in the conversation. What happens when you have an elite athlete, got drafted, didn't want to go back, wants to come back, gets a very nice judge in Baton Rouge or Lubbock, Texas, to rule to say, hey, you can come back. In fact, Jeff and I may go back to college and play sports. And I never even played it. My eligibility is still there. But Jeff's eligibility was ruled out years ago. Maybe he can return back. I think he would like to do that and take it out on that pole that knocked him out way back when.
Yeah, you got the LSU head coach
Lane Kiffin.
He said, look it, I'll gladly take those ex-NFL players that were in camp and put them on my team. And so he's catching a lot of grief, but he don't care. He's like, I'll win by any means necessary.
Exactly. He was in that song, that hip-hop song that says, smoke weed, talk glish like Lane Kiffin.
That's right. Lane don't care. Lane's old school.
Exactly. Other things we looked at, did you know worldwide, major story, out of the census and analysis of the world population, for the first time in human history, the number of people who are 65 and older are now larger than the number of people who are 5 years or younger. We have become an old world. The population of seniors, those 65 and up, have now surpassed children, 5 and younger, which means over the next decade, not only are we going to have less children, less youth, we're going to have more old people like myself by that time. We hit that mark. Not as young as Lalo, but the world will be a lot older. And right now, Europe has the largest older population, but they'll be soon passed up by Asia by a large margin. Asia and parts of Africa. Africa is going to be the population center where they're going to have a lot of youth. There's going to be a lot of rigor and a lot of technology innovation, but they're going to have an older population. Why does this matter? Because as you get an older population, you have to really step up your healthcare systems. You have to step up your care. Do we have enough resources, not just in the United States, but the world? Right now, we don't. And we're going to be hit with some crisis across the country, across the world, about how we handle this. My reporting looked at it, and it looks like all over the place, from Latin America all the way to Asia, it's going to be a worldwide crisis, and we're not even discussing it.
There's going to be so many more Karen videos.
Mm.
They are. And I think they're not just going to be Karen videos, but they're going to be all sorts of languages. So much so that Karen won't be able to see the races of the people because she can't see. She's too old.
Well, that's what journalism is all about.
This is what it's come to.
Stories.
But at least we'll have somebody nearby who can give us some hard candy and toffee when we have a sugar craving.
Exactly. Not only that. And lastly, we did look at youth sports. As I said last week, I'm taking a young woman, a young little girl, to her softball batting practice. Looked at youth sports. Really driving down and contributing to the drop in people going to church on Sundays. Why is that? Tournaments, youth tournaments are now on the week, a weekend event where pole play and elimination play or the plenaries are played on Saturdays. Championships are on Saturdays. This goes across all sports for club sports, from volleyball to basketball to baseball, softball, you name it, swim meets. That is replaced. Now, growing up, I don't know about you, Jeff, We had a virtual no game Sunday rule when I grew up in Texas. We just never played. We never practiced on Sunday. We never did anything on Sunday. Those days are gone. Sundays are basically championship days, and it eats into church attendance. Right around the time that people are going to church less, more Americans are becoming religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S, meaning nothing. And so our Sundays have fundamentally changed from going to church, talking and eating bagels right after Mass, to cheering on your player. We no longer are trying to get it, go to church so we can get into heaven. We're going to the tournament so our daughter can get into UCLA.
Wait, but so you're saying that going to church and eating bagels is not it's not a juxtaposition of faith.
It's no longer a thing. You're going to tournaments and eating hot dogs or whatever they're selling. There, in my case, a lot of green chili tacos, which I'm perfectly fine with. But none of that, parents are spending thousands of dollars to chase the dream of getting their children into high school sports, high school sports team, or into college. And communities have basically changed their local economies around youth sports. That we looked at a number of places, including in California, where towns are attempting to revive themselves by spending millions of dollars, multi-million dollars, to revive and create and build youth sports complexes.
Yeah.
So that people around the communities can come to that town and participate in those places, but also stay for the rush.
Industry. Yeah, get those kids off the screens. That's all I got to say.
Get those kids off the street, thanks to private equity.
Off the screens.
Well, you know, the tourism.
Off the streets.
Yeah, it builds tourism up, you know, because those people come with their parents and their brothers and sisters to come watch their sons play. And it's a lot of money for the cities that put on these tournaments.
That's right. And this July, I know what the feeling. I was in July where I wanted to be in Paris or Lisbon. I was actually in Farmington, New Mexico for a state tournament. The wonderful, beautiful oil town of Farmington, New Mexico, right near the Navajo Nation. It was a blast. Well, it wasn't a blast because we came in third or fourth, I forget whatever it was. But it was hot, and it was actually what the whole system is. I spent money on a loft and Mexican food that I can tell you was okay. But I had to spin it, and my daughter did well.
Hey, even mediocre Mexican food is better than the food in Europe. So.
Right. And she struck out a number of people. She almost had a shutout. Okay. That was actually all worth it.
Okay. I see you.
Did you order fried tacos or the Navajo tacos while you were there? Because
No, I did not. But I talked a lot of junk when she was striking people out.
Come on now. Like a true father's supposed to.
And now when I say stay focused, now she gives me a dirty look and saying shut up.
I know. I hate it when my mom used to do that. She's honest. I got hit in the nuts one time in Little League. And my mom ran on the field trying to rub him. Like, Mom, what are you doing?
Yes. And after that, you threw the bat at the pitcher and said, come on, let's go now.
Come on
this
now.
This whole show has become the Speedy Gonzalez Sports Show.
Don't go to my lane.
Thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you? Reed, what's going on at Axios?
Axios.com/newsletters. Get the AM newsletter to your inbox, the NPM newsletter to your inbox for free from Mike Allen. Get it free. Check your markets. Check your retirement. Check the media. We'll be right there every weekend, every day in your inbox. Ahoy!
We know how to get a hold of you. You're at some baseball field.
Exactly.
In any given time. Thank you, Russell Contreras from Axios. And now we got to go to our great friend, Nancy de los Santos.
Hola, Lalo.
Woo, say a little prayer. What's up, Nancy?
Hola, Zul. What is up on this hot weekend? Is this ever going to cool down? I mean, please.
Hey, it's a little cold down. It's a little cold down.
I guess not where I am. It is hot here today. But I'm happy to be here. I love KPFK. I just support them whenever I can. It's such a great, great station. And especially we're going to need it during these next few months. With all these lies and, you know, don't believe your eyes, believe our lies. It's just horrible. And this is the only place where I feel I can really get straight on truth news. And
that's right.
I love your DC correspondent. That girl works it. She's smart. I like her a lot.
Patricia is our star here for sure.
She's wonderful.
Well, Nancy, you wanted to come on and talk about your latest project. Why don't you tell
us? Yeah, well, it's a movie that is going to be on Netflix. Well, it's on Netflix. It started last night on Netflix, and it's just such an amazing feat, I have to say. It really is. You know, our movies, movies that have a Latino heart, movies that have a Latino core, they just don't get the attention that they need from mainstream media. So being on Netflix is a big deal for us, and we're really happy. More than anything, that our actors get to show their stuff to a wider audience. And I just want everybody to know, you know, it's there. Watch it. Let your family watch it. Share it with your friends. Say a little prayer. It's an easy title to remember. And it's on Netflix starting yesterday. You've seen it already, Lala, right?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And it's, you know, a film made by our friend,
Patrick,
the only guy known to escape the Pocho Hour of Power.
That's right. And live to tell the tale. Yeah, Patrick, he's an amazing director. And, of course, Christina Nava, our producer. Just a great team. And we all work so hard. So please do watch it. We just discovered something exciting today, that there's a Spanish dub of it on Netflix.
No way.
Yeah. Which we love. We were all just watching it and sharing our opinions on it. It's pretty darn good. They did a good job.
It turned out okay, because sometimes things don't translate, but it sometimes.
They did a good job. You know, it wasn't us. It was Netflix that did it, or actually our distributor, Samuel Goldwyn. And we're impressed. I'm happy that it's there. So now I could actually send it to people who want to see it in Spanish, and I think that's a good thing.
Oh, well, Oz, our sound guy, has the trailer up, he says. And
what?
If you want to hear about 60 seconds of
Say
a Little Prayer, let's go to that right now. We're with Nancy Dos Santos, writer and producer. Say a Little Prayer on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm. Say this prayer to San Antonio. Believe it when you say it, and wonderful things will happen.
What the heck? Yes!
Swore I never love again, so I do.
Nothing beats a picnic by the river.
Just found me enchanted.
You are quite the tour guide. When we kiss.
Ruby, you still haven't told us what your mystery man's name is yet.
You are freaking unbelievable.
Stay out of my life. Stay out of our lives. Go.
How could anyone ever know you?
When you see a painting and you have that connection with the artist, it's magic. Told you it was magic.
He's a vegan.
So no carnitas.
Mm-mm.
No ribs.
Never.
In Texas?
That's weird. In Texas, that's weird. That was the punchline. Yeah. But how wonderful that the trailer highlights Luis Fonsi's song that he wrote in his performance of his only song in English. I mean, it's just amazing that he did this for us and that he performed it. He's great in it. Vanessa Vasquez is amazing. Vivian Lomali, Jackie Cruz. It started with Angelica Maria, the sweetheart of Mexico. I mean, we have a tremendous, amazing cast, including Tatanka Means, who's now on a CBS show called Marshalls, I believe. So
We love Vivian. She's been on the show a couple of times, and she just had a baby, actually.
She has a little baby, Baby K, I call him. He's no little baby anymore. That dude's walking around and talking. He's great. I visited her just a while back, and it was so nice to see her. But I'm so proud of the work, and I just want people to watch. We have to, the more people who watch our movie will let Netflix know that we all want to see more movies with Latinos and Latinas and people of color. Just put us on these movies, put our movies on. And I'm really proud to say that in our movie, no one is committing a crime. Oh my God, what a concept. There's no guns in our movie. No one gets killed in our movie.
How many lowriders are in the movie?
There's no lowriders in our movie.
What?
No, but it's about art and love and prayer and tradition and grandmas and friendship. It's about a lot of good things. So come on, even you.
The way you're saying that in the cast, mm-hmm. that guy named Hector that plays a cholo named Hector in every movie, he's not in this either.
He's not in our movie. No,
what?
No, we did not cast him. We said no, because there's more to us than that. As much as I love Hector the Cholo, there's more to us than that. As much as I love all you pochos, please, even guys who don't normally watch romantic comedies, watch it. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's a movie you could watch with your wife, your girlfriend, your daughters. They will all enjoy it, and we're really proud of it. So say a little prayer. On Netflix, started yesterday. We'd really like to get this weekend moving and grooving so that Netflix can see we can do this and we can do it well.
You know, we are in 2026, and we still have to ask people to see our movies. We know that Latinos are the number one movie-going audience because we will watch anything, right?
Like, what is up with that?
We love everything. And that's I think my theory is – we just enjoy life, and you know, we like to go to the movies and just escape. But also, I mean, that does not explain brand loyalty, and you know why we love mm-hmm. Fabuloso so much, and you know, it's just odd. But in the thanks we get is we're only about 6% of any movie characters, that's book right. characters, TV characters, and it's disgusting. And so, you know, that cannot keep standing. We have too much money, too many people, too many cholos named Hector. They can all go to the movie too.
And
support, you know, our creative community, right?
And speaking of support, Lalo, we have two more announcements before the show's over.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
well,
again, for the Las Vegas, you please, if you cannot get to yourself, do not call in for the tickets.
If you can't get to Las Vegas on your own means,
yes,
don't call for the tickets.
That's right. Yeah. Please be a listener, KPFK donor, listener. And again, it's the House of Blues Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay presenting Carlos Santana live on Wednesday, September 23rd, 2026. Tickets will be sent to you by email. You've got to get yourself there. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. You got to get yourself there.
Get yourself there,
we
people.
We ain't got that budget. But the show is on us. And for further information.
We don't have two free Greyhound tickets to go with that.
Not even that, man. Not even in my new car.
Also, I want to say something. Low riding is not a crime, and that's why I spray painted that on the Glendale Police Department wall last weekend.
And go to visit Las Vegas, houseofblues.com, Santana, and please, you got to get yourself there. Don't call
get
in. Give
there.
Somebody a chance, please.
No low rider ride is included. Hey, Nancy, could you remind people how to... get on their Netflix and watch Say a Little Prayer.
Okay, you gotta have Netflix to watch Netflix, but it's also available on Amazon, on Tubi, on Fandango at Home. All you gotta do is Google Say a Little Prayer the movie and it'll come up.
But go to Netflix first. We wanna go to Netflix first.
For this weekend, go to Netflix because we want to prove to Netflix that Latinos, which I'm sure millions of us have Netflix, we'll tune in and watch a movie, and I know you're going to enjoy it. This is not a do it because it'll be good for you. No, it's just do it because it's a good, funny, lovely movie that you're going to enjoy. The end. Thank you very much. I'm Nancy De Los Santos signing off from Solano. <All right. laughs>
Thank you, Nancy De Los Santos, writer, producer, and we'll have you back here on the Pocho Hour Power very soon. Say a little prayer. On Netflix. Thank you. And I want to thank Patricia Guadalupe, Russell Contreras, Evelina Fernandez, Rick Salinas. I want to thank Oz doing our sound today. I'd like to thank who's left? I got Russell. I want to thank Gary Baca, producer of the 5G, Jeffrey Keller, and Esteban Zuo. I want to thank you guys.
Thank you, man. And of course, I'll be at the Poach Owl Power. I mean, I'll be at the.
You're already at the Poach Hour.
Already
power.
At the Poach. I've been to Comedy Chateau this weekend. Say my name. Get in free. 8 o'clock. Come on out.
We're not going to write your name on the KPFK wall, man.
Hola, Lissy, won't get down. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Have a great holiday.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording of
KPFK. KPFK invites you to join us on air or online at 7 p.m. on the first Friday of the month.